The content in this audio recording provides general information. However, it does not substitute legal advice or opinion. This information is best used in conjunction with legal advice from an experienced member of our team. International travel with children after separation. As family lawyers, we realise that navigating parenting post-separation is not always easy. It can be even more difficult if after a separation, one parent wishes to travel outside of Australia with their children, and there is a concern that the other parent will not agree. Even more difficult is when a parent has a genuine concern about their children travelling overseas and not being returned to Australia. The COVID-19 pandemic saw borders closed and travel plans halted, which within the family law context meant that overseas travel with children after separation became near impossible. Now with the borders open and international travel back, we have observed that there has been an increase in discussions and negotiations between separated parents and their family lawyers about overseas travel with their children. In this recording, I will explore issues that affect both travelling and non-travelling parents. Issues we will explore for the travelling parent include obtaining a passport for your children post-separation, how to approach discussions with the other parent to allow travel, and what happens if the other parent doesn't agree to the children's travel. The issues we will discuss for the non-travelling parent includes what can be done if you have immediate concerns about your children being taken overseas without your consent, and what can be done if your children are not returned to Australia. Obtaining a passport for your children post-separation. In Australia, both parents must consent to children obtaining a passport. And if your children already have a valid passport, both parents must also consent to the children leaving Australia. This can present issues for parents wanting to organise overseas travel with children after separation, especially when the relationship breakdown may not be amicable. While Australia requires the consent of both parents for children to leave Australia, there are some countries that may only require the signature of one parent. For this reason, you will need to seek legal advice depending on where you are travelling to and from. Effective discussions with your co-parent. As family lawyers, we help parents draft the terms of their parenting arrangements, including specific arrangements regarding overseas travel with children. Typically, there are clear parameters in the agreement about the parent's ability to travel with their children overseas, including what information the travelling parent will need to provide to the non-travelling parent prior to the date of departure. This information is designed to provide the non-travelling parent with clarity around where the children will be travelling to and when, and to provide security that their children will return home to Australia. Our advice to clients who come to us wondering if they can travel overseas with their children post-separation is that it is always wise to plan well in advance to get ahead of any potential disagreements. This basically means getting prepared by gathering the relevant information and presenting it to the other parent as early as possible. So, what information should you provide to the non-travelling parent? When raising your proposal to travel overseas with your children, you should ensure you have the following information on hand. Details of all flights. Importantly, this includes the return flights as well, and a detailed itinerary, including contact details for each place that the children will be staying at. Be prepared to provide a reasonable explanation to the other parent about why the travel is desired, other than just a holiday. For example, it might be to see family members, to continue a cultural connection with their heritage, or as a learning experience. Importantly, you must demonstrate that you have an intention to return with the children to Australia. In our experience, it can be helpful to consider a shorter period of travel rather than an extended one, especially for the first instance of international travel post-separation. Approaching the other parent and presenting them with a proposal rather than only stating that you will be traveling overseas with the children is more likely to be met with a positive response. Giving the other parent all of the details of your intended travel gives them clarity and can provide peace of mind. This approach can go a long way in helping you to obtain their signature for a passport and consent to international travel. Where the other parent is left with more questions than answers is often where we see that a negative response or a flat refusal will be more likely. So what if there is family violence? In the event that you are seeking to travel internationally with your children to escape family violence or a domestic violence situation, there are a number of options and channels for interim support until such time that the right avenues can be followed to enable overseas travel with your children. We recommend that you seek urgent advice from a family lawyer to learn about the short-term assistance that can be accessed in these circumstances. But what happens if you have gathered all of the information and after providing your plans, you learn that the other parent will not consent? What to do when an agreement cannot be reached? It is not uncommon for discussions between parents regarding overseas travel with children to become heated, particularly where the traveling parent is a citizen of the country the children are traveling to. This is often due to a fear that the children will not be returned to Australia. As always, in family law, the court considers the best interests of the children as paramount when it comes to making decisions post-separation. If one parent does not agree for the children to travel, the traveling parent can make an application to the court seeking an order to permit the children to leave Australia. The travelling parent will be required to provide the court with information about the travel and efforts to gain consent from the other parent. The travelling parent will need to provide the following: details of travel overseas, including flights, reasons for travelling overseas, benefits of the proposed travel to the children, evidence or examples of attempts to resolve discussions regarding travel, details of any security that you are prepared to offer, such as a bond to the court, the proposed date for returning to Australia, and details of both parents and the children's ties to Australia. When the court considers whether travel should be permitted, in addition to the core concern of whether the travel is in the best interests of the children, the court will also take into account factors including the length of the proposed stay, the sincerity of the application, the effect on the children of any deprivation of contact with the non-travelling parent, any threats to the welfare of the children by circumstances of the proposed environment, keeping in mind any travel advice on the Smart Traveller website, and the degree of satisfaction of the court that a promise to return to the jurisdiction would be honoured. For the court to make an order to allow the travel without the consent of both parents, the travelling parent must satisfy the court that the travel is in the children's best interests and also that they will be returned. If the non-travelling parent raises relevant concerns, the court can take into consideration the past conduct of the parent wishing to travel. For example, if a travelling parent has previously threatened not to return to Australia, the court may then consider whether the travelling parent can effectively offer a surety. Whether a surety is suitable in the circumstances is decided on a case-by-case basis. It is dependent on whether the travel is considered urgent or not. An example of urgent need for travel could include a funeral or visiting a terminally ill relative. The surety can be in the form of the travelling parent paying a determined sum of money into the trust account of the non-travelling parent's solicitor, which would be refunded to the travelling parent upon their return to Australia with the children. The reason that this is looked upon as a suitable safeguard is in the event that the children are not returned home to Australia, the non-travelling parent has funds to progress an application for their children's return. What to do if your children are not returned to Australia? No parent likes to think about this as a possibility, and it does not commonly occur, but is something a parent needs to be alert to when considering travel. If your children have traveled with their other parent overseas and have not been returned home to Australia, this may be considered as international abduction. If this occurs, the Hague Convention on the Civil Aspects of International Child Abduction will govern the process to seek the return of the children to Australia. The Hague Convention is the main international agreement covering international parental child abduction. The convention will require an application that will go through the Australian Central Authority, also known as the ACA, in the Attorney General's Department. The Attorney General is responsible for administering the convention as it relates to children whose habitual residence is in Australia. So the first step to having your children returned home safely is seeking assistance from a family lawyer who can provide you advice and support you in preparing the necessary evidence for an ACA application. Importantly, applications under the Hague Convention for the return of a child to Australia can only be made to or from a country if the following criteria apply. The first requirement is that the country must have signed the convention and is therefore a contracting party to the convention. Secondly, the convention must be accepted by Australia as being enforced between the two countries, that is, between Australia and the country the children have been taken to. Finally, the Hague Convention must be enforceable in the country that the children are travelling to. It is not enough for the country to simply be a signatory to the convention. An example of this would be Russia, who acceded to the convention in 2011, but is not yet enforced between Russia and Australia. Therefore, if your children are abducted to Russia from Australia, currently it will not be possible to seek a return of the children to Australia under the Hague Convention. Even if you can seek your children's return through the convention, typically the process is long, stressful, and exhausting for parents. Having a lawyer with experience in international family law matters to assist you can mean a quicker application to have your children safely returned to Australia. Do you have immediate concerns about your children being taken overseas without your consent? If you are concerned that a parent may attempt to fraudulently obtain a passport for your children, or if your children already have a passport and you are concerned that the other parent may travel with them overseas without your consent, you should take steps to place your children's name on the Australian Federal Police Family Law Watch List. Once your children are registered on this list, they will be stopped at all entry and exit points, both to and from Australia. Given the complexities of pursuing the return of children to Australia under the Hague Convention, it is far preferable to take practical steps to stop your children from leaving Australia without your consent in the first place. Urgent applications to prevent children from leaving Australia and assistance with navigating the return of children to Australia must be actioned early, because any delay may significantly hinder the success of any subsequent applications regarding your children. International travel with children. Regardless of whether you are the travelling parent or the non-travelling parent, it is incredibly beneficial to approach post-separation parenting matters well informed of your legal options, especially where you wish to approach these matters in the most productive, amicable, and time-sensitive way. Where you can, it is best to seek early advice before engaging with the other parent to ensure that you are aware of where you stand and so that you can approach such matters in a way that the court will view as being in the best interests of your children.